Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am Terrell Jackson, and I'm here with my older brother.
Hello.
Tosh, you going to introduce you?
No, I don't need an introduction. A man that needs no introduction.
Straight off the top, we saw your comments. We got your emails.
We listened loud and clear.
And obviously, you guys, I mean, the ratings were skyrocket. I don't know if it's a coincidence, but no TJ again.
We had to let him go.
You guys spoke loud and clear, like Tosh said, and you enjoyed last week so much, we decided TJ's going to be gone for another week. TJ couldn't make it today.
Yes.
Had a big meeting. I think he just wanted to listen into the show.
He wants the ratings to go up a little higher.
Oh, goodness, Taj. How you doing, Taj?
I'm good. I'm a little tired, but I'm good. That daylight saving, whatever that thing is.
Throw you off, right?
When you get older, change is not your friend.
It throws you off.
And anything that changes in that way, it threw me completely off, and I'm still kind of recovering from it.
Yeah, we had a baseball game at 8, which basically is 7.
Yeah.
And then we get there about 30 minutes before. That was a struggle.
I was worried that I know that the iPhones like do it automatically, but mm-hmm. for some reason I was just I didn't know. I guess it kicked in at like 2 or 3 in the morning, so I wanted to stay up to watch it kick in before I went to sleep, and I had an early meeting the next day. So
it takes a while to adjust.
Yeah, it wasn't smart.
It takes a while to adjust. I mean, we both go to sleep pretty late, anyways.
Yes, exactly.
What's going on? What'd you do this week?
Terrell, I don't even really remember, honestly.
It went by fast, yeah?
It goes by fast. I've been doing, I'm not going to say the name of the brand, but I've been walking a lot with that, you know, the thing that you put on your watch.
We talked about the brand last time.
Oh, we
Give
did?
Them love.
Oh, Fitbit.
Fitbit. It's all right.
All right. they're not sponsoring us right now. But they, I've been using my Fitbit every day, and I love it, actually, because I'm naturally lazy when it comes to like
really?
Once I get
that is shocking.
Once I get in my chair or wherever I am, I don't want to move. So it's like this reminds me to get up and start moving. So I like it a lot.
I told you it'd be great.
Yeah.
And I have to say it's pretty nice to call you once in a while and see that you're actually moving.
Yeah.
On your feet. Cause gym is pretty much out of the question with you, right?
Oh, gym is not going to happen at all. I gave up gym a long time ago. I don't mind walking. Like, I don't mind, you know.
It's fun, though, right? It's good. Gives you a little challenge.
You know what it is? I like the challenge part of it.
Taj, what steps are you at now? What are you trying to go for? Because you started off at, what, 9?
I started off at 8, then I went to 9, then I went to 10, now I'm at 11,000 steps.
Oh, you're with me now.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be at 12, but.
Yeah, I know.
No.
I knew that wasn't going to last.
I stay at 11.
Yeah, because 12 is a lot to get in.
It is. I shoot for 12, but I make sure I do 11.
Yeah.
But it gets hard, especially when you're doing music, because time flies and yeah. you're not moving.
Real quick, because this doesn't seem so off topic, too, but it is actually really good to walk around just for stress, you know,
yeah.
as well.
Exercise.
To like exercise in general. I'm not, you know, as I said, I'm allergic to the gym. But besides that, just walking around, and it really does make you feel better.
It's great.
Yeah.
This is why a lot of people run. Especially, I know TJ does it too.
Well, I didn't say I was out. Running. I said I was walking.
Well,
I know other people.
It's
run.
A new discovery for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no,
but
this is
yeah.
my body's already going in the shower.
Yeah, because you get focused on running and everything. You just your mind goes
exactly,
free.
Exactly.
You want to read the disclaimer?
Topics sure.
and stuff. I mean, I'd love to sit here.
Here's
and
our
chat,
disclaimer.
But we got some business.
We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. have been impacted by it, and have learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you are going through. Sound like a computer. Help you overcome what you are going through. Seeing that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Don't just rely on us.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sound natural, but then
you're trying
I'm
to
reading.
Sound professional.
Yeah.
And you're not.
This is the second time I've read this disclaimer.
Well, read it on the air.
On the air, yes. Let me get this also handled.
Yeah, you can do that.
The things that I am used to. If you want to reach us, Twitter is at DDJ Foundation. Facebook, it's DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. Instagram, it's at DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. And the website is www.ddjf.org. And call-in number for today, which is every it's the same call-in number, 323-203-0815.
That's interesting.
What?
I thought you, like, because you said, oh. That's right. It's right. 203, I guess. All right. So we're going to open up the phone line soon. Topics. What we got?
I have a couple topics. I didn't know where, what I wanted to start with since TJ's not here. So this gives us a chance to throw some interesting topics.
Tosh, you know what? Real quick before we get to the topic. It kind of feels weird without him.
It does.
It's like the old days.
It is.
Even though I can barely remember.
Oh,
life without TJ.
Yeah, I know. It is like the old days.
For 3 years, it was just you and me.
Yeah. You know.
I do miss him.
I do too. He's, you know, trying to
fit in. He has a different dynamic.
Yeah, he tries to fit in, be like his older brothers.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
He has a different dynamic.
All right. Here we go. So let me throw. Should I throw one in? And I'm trying not to make these sound like rants because these aren't rants either.
Are we doing a rant?
No, we're not doing a rant.
It might
morph into a rant, but I also wanted to try and keep it with the kind of overall
theme.
I'm
giving you the ball on this, so.
Oh, really?
I don't know these, right?
No. You don't know these at all.
All right, here we go.
But also, if you want to contribute, call in once you hear the topic. There might be a couple topics. We might change it up. But the first one that I have is basically, should I go with the strongest one first? Like, not strongest one.
Just go.
Okay. It's sheeple.
It's who?
Sheeple.
Sheeple.
Have you ever heard the term sheeple?
No.
This might turn into a rant. Sheeple are people that basically just follow what is in or follow what's popular at the time.
Followers.
Followers, but not followers
in
terms
of... Oh, sheep. Like a sheep.
Sheeple.
Got it.
Sheeple. Yeah. You never heard that?
Never heard of that.
It's one of my biggest pet peeves, but not because of just people wanting to fit in, but that people just believing whatever they want to believe, you know?
Okay.
And why I say that is because I feel like today with everything that's going on, like it's important not to be an individual, but to have individual thought and to think for yourself, you know?
Okay.
And I should say even to question stuff, what you read, what you hear, because right now everyone believes just whatever wherever they get the source from, they believe it.
Basically have a mind of your own.
Have a mind of your own. Double check it. Cross-reference it with 3 or 4 sources. We grew up in that, so we know that, you know.
So basically, have a mind of your own. Don't believe what you read. First off, like,
don't believe
research.
What you read or hear until you research it yourself.
Yeah, research. Yeah,
and I don't think people do that at all. Like today, in terms of, I don't want to get political, but a lot of the news comes from Facebook, and a lot of that is fake. Like people read their news from Facebook,
right?
And
sources,
and people can tweet or post anything today, and people believe it. So we grew up in it, as I said, in terms of not believing what was printed, or you know, because things were printed about our family that were untrue. So we understand that, but certain people are like, I hear the argument, well, why would they lie to us? And there's many reasons why.
Many reasons.
That's, yeah, if you have to ask that question, then. But I guess it is a little rant because you really can't call in and talk about this topic. So I just.
You can call in and talk about
it. Can talk, but maybe I should go to my next topic. I just wanted.
Well, throw some out there.
That might have been my rant. People.
Hold on, actually, we got a caller.
We got a caller about sheeple?
Yeah, maybe. Let's see. Hello. Who's on the
Jennifer?
Phone? Hello?
Hello?
Who is this?
Judge Steele. I was calling for Jennifer. Maybe I have the wrong number?
Oh, you do have
it. Oh, yeah, you have the wrong number.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay.
No problem.
All right.
Thanks. Yeah. Nope. No sheeple there.
No sheeple there. But for me, like, I want to say to everyone, please think on your own. I think society will be a lot better for it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just because you see a lot of people doing something doesn't mean it's right. And we need a lot more leaders out there. And I don't want to get into my rant, but it's, we see too many, so much selfishness. So we have to be selfless and appreciate that more. But my next topic.
All right, throw them out there. Yeah, let's see.
This is the heavy one. This is the one that I wasn't trying to go to, but let's go to it. Because this one could be take the whole hour. It's racism, which is very, it's an important topic because it's a topic that I believe is taught, you know. You're not born racist.
Yeah.
And I think that that is kind of what is destroying our world right now is racism. And it's one of those things that we grew up with. You know, people think, oh, you're Jacksons, you didn't experience racism. We experienced racism. You know, I'm going to give a couple examples. But also, I think listeners, if you're listening, which you probably are because you heard this, it's our duty to teach kids about other cultures and other races and help integrate them into it. Because if you're in your own little bubble and your own little like city block and it's just one race, they're not going to learn about the other races. And then they're going to have some kind of prejudice because they're going to see something on TV that depicts one race over another race. And so I think, you know, it's important to see that. It's important to see that and to see that diversity. And I remember, Terrell, we used to do, with Pops, we used to do little movies.
Mm-hmm.
And because there were not really that many superheroes that were black at the time.
Oh, right.
You know, I would always, I'm not going to say his name, but I would always defer my friend to be Superman, or Batman, because he was white. Like, that was the thing. So he automatically played Superman or Batman. And it was like, where do I fit in? And so I do believe that when people see dolls of themselves, you know, it's so important to see that diversity. And so for me, racism exists. It always has existed. And I think that if you don't think it exists, then you're in a bubble. And so for me, I would like to hear other people, like if people have experienced certain races and how you overcame it, basically, you know.
Okay.
Because and if you have kids, how you've taught them about racism, either to overcome it or to be tolerant towards other races.
Right.
Because there's a lot of parents out there, but it has to be taught. It has to be taught either in school or by parents, because it's there. And so
it is. It's everywhere.
But that's
sad.
But see, what people don't understand, and this is kind of goes with our whole thing, is that racism is—it's a certain. I don't want to say handicap, but it is a handicap because if someone is prejudiced towards a certain race, they look at that race as lower or are less than them, and so you're not starting in a fair, equal space. And right. I kind of wanted to get that out there because, and then so, Tara, have you ever experienced it? Because you've heard me talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, hold on. So we got sheeple, we got racism. Did you have a third one? Was that it? Was that
the... I got to save some. I mean, if this, I want to hear about.
No, I'm just going to, okay. So I guess with those, we'll stick with those for now.
We'll stick with those.
Again, the number
one.
Is.
I can't tell you all my topics.
Okay, then again, hold on. Okay.
You want me to give you one more topic?
No. It's up to you. I'm about to give the phone number again so people can call in.
Okay. No, because these other ones are kind of like, I think that's good enough for now.
Okay. So again, we're talking about sheeple, which I never heard of until now.
Really?
But makes sense. Yeah. Sheeple and racism. The number here again is 323-203-0815. Call in. Taj, your question for me was, have I experienced racism?
Yeah.
Of course. I think the very first time was I can remember.
Yeah.
I think I was either in fourth or fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And someone called me the N-word on the basketball court playground. And I just remember the teacher really getting upset about it.
Did you even know at that point? What?
You know, we were playing basketball. It was a game. Mm-hmm. And I think I scored or I stole the ball from him, and he called me that. And the teacher, the PE coach, immediately, like, really got upset and stopped the game and everything. And you know, I didn't really think too much of it because in our family, it's like so much has been thrown at us, mm-hmm. and you just have that thick skin. I've been called, and our family's been called names, you know, little kids and things teasing. So I've had thick skin. I didn't really understand how crazy of a thing that was until I got older. Because like you said, that's something I think, you know, it's learned. And it's sad, but he had to learn it from somewhere. I mean, you're so young at 8 years old.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how... That's
eight,
it's taught.
But maybe he was 8 or 9, you know? And we went to a very small private school. So, yeah. Obviously, you know everybody in that yeah. school. And it's a small group, and everybody's cool with each other. And I just... It came from right field, you know? And...
Not literally right field. It came from
Yeah, but it was a weird experience. But I don't think I even understood the importance or how deep of a situation it was until the teacher stepped in and got upset over it. You know.
Yeah, I think it's important for authority figures to step in right away, especially mm-hmm. when at a young age, because kids don't sometimes realize what's going on. And if they let it slide, then you might let it slide and you might think it's okay. But yeah. I think that as it is, you're kind of cautious, you know, me growing up being black, I've always been cautious of people. Cautious of stereotypes, you know, like not getting too close to a car when someone's in it, because I've heard car locks happen, you know, when you're walking, you know, the typical. I've been followed around in malls and school and stores,
right.
You know, but that's things that certain people don't deal with. They don't understand when you're sometimes treated like a criminal before mm-hmm. you're even a criminal. It's degrading. And it makes you feel like, you know, what did I do to deserve this?
Yeah, so. there's a lot of issues in the world right now. I mean, you see a lot more and more of a social media out. And it's sad. A friend of mine sent me we got a call. But he sent me a video from Facebook, and it's a police situation, but it's just sad. Hold on, we'll take a call. Hello. Who we have?
Hi, this is Ashley from Pennsylvania again.
Hey, hey Ashley. How's it going?
Hey. Good, how are you?
We're doing great.
You're good.
Well, I have a different experience with racism because I'm Caucasian, but my wife is black. So with her, it's just strange to see because, you know, she's come home at night after a night out and she'll be crying, and I'll ask her what's wrong, and she says, oh, you know, someone called me the N-word, and, like, I hate it so much. I just don't understand why people have to be that way, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And like, I'm sure, like, you probably feel not helpless, but at the same time, it's because you're not experiencing that yourself. It's like, how do I approach this?
Exactly. Like, I can't really understand it because I'm not black or because I'm white, but, like, I don't know how to help her with it sometimes, you know, except be there for her, and
No, I think that's exactly what you can do, and I hate sometimes hearing on TV or on the news there's reverse racism, too. You know, and I hate hearing, oh, well, you don't understand, you're not black. You know, that to me bothers me as well, because throughout time, there's been people marching for rights of minorities, you know, that weren't the minority themselves. And so I mm-hmm. commend those people as well. And I think you can still be, you can sympathize and be compassionate towards it without living it. And so I totally, you know, commend you. And I think that just being there and being understanding is what is the only thing you can do. But it is tough, you know, being a minority in mm-hmm. a certain environment that makes you feel like you're a minority.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I don't understand how people can judge someone on their skin color or their ethnicity. I think that's ridiculous and outdated, and it just needs to stop.
Yes. I totally agree. And I think that's the thing with, you know, in terms of like, this is an important topic, especially because a lot of people suffer loss and grief, and they suffer feeling less than they are because of the race they are, because of what's been depicted on TV or what's been depicted on film. Like, there's certain cultures right now that are depicted as a certain way, and it's like, oh, you're a terrorist because you came from here. And
exactly.
And that is dangerous in terms of it's poisoning to people. You see it on TV, and it, what it does is it makes other people fear you. And it's a cycle. And so that's the one thing that I was so appreciative of our parents, was that we really integrated with every race. And we have friends that were all different ethnic. I can't even say the word. All different ethnics. I was going to
ethnicities.
Thank you so much.
You're
welcome. I told you, it's daylight savings. You know.
Yep, it screws everyone up.
But yeah, so for me, I think that is probably one of the, when I hear about racism, I usually can go, okay, this person probably grew up in one town, and only associated with their own race. And it goes both ways. If you're in an all black neighborhood or an all Hispanic neighborhood or an all, you know, Jewish neighborhood, if that's all you know and everything else you see is on TV, then you might, mm-hmm. you know, you might experience that racism. You might be, you know, not even know it, but be prejudiced towards a certain race because of what you've been kind of taught.
Right. And like, yeah, when it comes to my wife, it's heartbreaking, and it hurt. Like, if she gets hurt, I get hurt. So even though I'm not actually experiencing it, but I kind of am, because it hurts me. When she gets hurt, I get hurt. So
exactly.
I kind of do understand it.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Yeah, you're there for her, and I think that's the most important thing. And
thank you.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of where I think about this topic is because of your uncle and his music. Like, I learned a lot from him, and like Black, and you know, the song Black or White, and you know, just the way he was with everyone. He loved everyone. He didn't judge anyone, and just his music and the way he was with everyone just helped me mold me into the person I am today because of that.
Exactly. No, and that's a thing. And I think that is also in terms of having certain role models that are different,
mm-hmm.
you know, ethnicities, that helps as well. I tried to go for it and didn't work out. But yeah, I think that helps as well in terms of, and you'll see sometimes there's certain parents that don't want their kids to look up to a certain race or look up to a certain person that is of a race. And that's very damaging. So I think it all depends, but us as a society, well, that was like a lot of S's, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was about to say something, but you caught it.
Yeah, and like, racism isn't born, it's taught.
100%, and that's the thing. Because you see kids, and you see kids when they're young, when you see babies, and when they all play together.
And
that's the thing, and so it is taught, and because it's taught, it's learned, and it can. And I think you really have to be wary of that.
Yeah, if it can be taught, then it can certainly be untaught. You know.
Did you grow up in where was it pretty open where you grew up in terms of?
Yeah, I live, like, my town is mostly Caucasian, but my parents were very open and non-judgmental, and you know, they never taught me to be, you know, prejudiced against anyone because of any particular thing, like their race or anything. So my family was you know, they also obviously molded me into the person I am today, who doesn't judge a person based on their skin color or anything like that.
Yeah. I think it's just so important, parents and in general, to do that, or guardians or whoever's watching, teachers as well. I think that's it starts when you're young.
Exactly. And so that was my story.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Ashley.
Thank you.
We appreciate
thank you so much, Ashley, for calling in.
You're welcome, and thank you, and I love you guys.
Love you too.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye. That's cool. We got another caller.
All right, cool.
Let's take it. Hello. Hello? Anyone there?
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Maisha.
Oh, hi. How are you? You're on the air.
I'm well. Yes.
What's going on?
I was surprised at the topic today. You guys are getting pretty heavy.
That's because TJ's not here, so I'm able to
his older brother to right there
kind of exercise
right on
liberties.
Right on. I like it. That's cool. So, just for your listeners and for you guys to know, I'm black. So, my parents, you know, never, I just want to talk about racism. My parents, you know, never taught me to dislike anybody that, was not black or only to date black guys. The only thing my dad says was, you know, he's not your boyfriend unless I meet him. So I would bring home guys that, were white. I would bring home guy. I brought home a guy that was Vietnamese. I brought home a guy that was Persian. So when I was in high school, when I was in college, I dated a lot of different races because I like variety and I like people in general. And I don't ever judge anybody by the way they look. But when I experienced racism a lot, of course, in elementary school. But when I was dating in particular, you know, I brought them home to meet my parents and they brought me home to meet their parents. And soon after, I was no longer a girlfriend. So, and I know that that was because they were judging me based upon what I look like instead of who I was. And even though I had a great relationship with their son and, you know, we got along great, I was educated, I was polite, all these good things, that didn't matter because I was black. So,
and did you know that, at that time, or was it something that you looked into later on and said, this must be, what did you know right away, like while you were in it, that was, once you weren't invited back or once they would break up with you, you're like, oh, I know what it is?
Well, yeah, we would have discussions about it. And, you know, once I met their parents, they would, you know, tell me about, you know, their conversation that they had with their parents and
And was the excuse usually like, my parents are old fashioned kind of, you know, that word?
Yeah, they're like first generation Vietnamese, first generation Persian and
And I think,
yeah, we would definitely have race discussions and when we were out together, you know, people would stare at us or look at us or whatever. But the thing of it is that we were cool. It was just their parents that weren't.
Yeah, I think that's the thing too, is that as generations go, we've become, I don't want to say looser, but we've integrated more. But at the same time, I don't want to lose that, because it's as much as we've integrated and we've accepted other races that aren't our own, there's been a pushback of people that are like, don't want that to happen. So I think it was great of your parents to be open in that way and let you just judge people by who they are as opposed to what skin color they are. That's a very important lesson. And I went out on, I wouldn't call it a date back in the day, but I did go out with a friend and she was Caucasian. And we were at a restaurant that I've always had gone to, and it was one of my favorite restaurants. I'm not going to mention the name because it's a bad story, but we were sitting, you know, across from each other, and she started getting angry. And I was like, what's going on? She's like, the people behind me are giving me the evilest stare. And I didn't see any of it because my back was turned towards them, but she was so mad that she actually went up to them and confronted them. But that was kind of the first time that I really, because we were just friends, but they must assume that we were on a date. And it just, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I thought the town that I was in was kind of very liberal. And it just reminded me that, you know, there's intolerant people everywhere.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is that when people come over here from other countries, you know, they get, from looking at the news or whatever, they get this impression of what, you know, Black people are like, because what they see on TV, you know, they see, you know, robberies and crime and all kind of stuff. So they assume that everybody's like that, or that everybody has that in them. So they prejudge you based upon what they see other people doing.
And you're probably very sensitive to that, aren't you, when you see it on TV and you see how they splash that image and it's of a minority or whatever. And you're like, you know the damage that that does in terms of people assuming that it's that that's what that race is. Or, you know, every time I would see an image of a Black guy or a Black male or whatever, I felt like, you know, it was not just propaganda, but it was more of like, oh great, this is gonna definitely, more people are gonna be scared of me now, or more people are gonna assume that I'm a criminal.
You thought that?
Oh yeah, definitely, because because what you know, your skin color is your skin color, and that's the thing. When you walk through anywhere, there's people that judge you based on that, and there's people that, because people see what people believe what they see, unfortunately. And so if they've watched a movie, or they've, you know, nowadays we have more minority heroes, or we have more Black heroes or Asian heroes and whatever, but back in the day when I don't want to say how old I am, I'm old, you guys know,
I know how old you are.
Black people were drug dealers. Black people were gangsters or pimps, you know, and so, or they were, or gangbangers, and that was it. Like, that was what you were. So walking around, people were scared of you in a way. I mean, in the music scene, of course, with my uncle and Prince, it was different, but just every day walking around, that was it. That's what you, that's what people immediately started to label you as.
And there's no way to combat that.
I think by examples, just by, you know, being an example in the world and being a role model and
education
and yes, that's good, Tara.
I know, Tosh.
That's nice. The parent in you.
Yeah. No, it's all education. I mean, it's sad because we've come so far, but we still got a long ways to go.
Mm. Have you had your talk with your kids, Tara, about racism?
A little bit.
I haven't talked to my kids yet about that.
But not so much.
How old are
your kids?
They're
5 and 6. 5, 6, and 15. But yeah.
Are you dreading that, or is it just that you don't think it's the time yet? What?
I don't think it's the time yet. If they come to me and ask me a question about it, then okay. But they haven't faced that yet. Mm-hmm. It's more of a bullying thing, just because they're little. That's more of the thing that I'm dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. But the race thing has not come up.
Yeah, and I think it's very important too, as you just said, with because they're little. I think it's also important to not, and you didn't do this, I'm just saying in general, sometimes people think that they just, the first thing they jump to is racism. Like, you know, it's because they were racist,
right,
or whatever. And so it's also very important not to jump to that first conclusion, because it could be just because, you know, as you said,
right,
of another thing. And I've that word does get thrown around a lot, to the point where people are like, oh, come on. But it does exist.
That definitely does exist. Well, thank
but
you.
But they so definitely know where. Oh, yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead. If you have more, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say they definitely identify with one race over another, because my children are, their dad is half Black, half Hispanic. So their last name is Hernandez. So they get a lot of questions about that. They look Black, but their last name is Hernandez, so they get a lot of questions about that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
So that comes up. That's all I was going to say. I don't want to take up any more of you guys.
No, that's okay. We love the call. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. And thanks for listening and participating.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's sad. I really... Oh, we have another caller. two callers. We'll get to that in a second. But I haven't really had that conversation with Bryson or Adrian yet, because it's children are so pure. You know, they don't know. Like you said, it's taught.
Yeah.
They don't know yet, so I don't need to really say anything. And I like it that way. Innocent with that.
Most of the parents that you deal with are very open as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're going to come across it at one point or another, but mm-hmm. obviously if you see that, you avoid those type of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have to let them know that it exists.
Yeah.
And at some point, they're going to come across it, and I need to educate them, not to be racist, obviously, but to identify it and to know that that's going to happen and why it happens, mm-hmm. you know? And it's sad, but it still happens. Of course, nobody wants to look at the world that way, but it's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. It's sad. But of course, you wish you could raise your children not to think about this or think about that, but you have to prepare them for the world and mm-hmm. for life. All right, we have another caller. Let's take it. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. You are on the air. Who is this?
This is Sequoia.
Hey, Sequoia.
How you doing?
Hey. I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
Doing well.
So do you have...
I'm really digging these topics.
You are? Do you have... What's going on, Sequoia? Do you have... Have you experienced racism or...
It's a very deep topic, Thomas Jackson.
It is. It's terrible. You know what?
But I get it.
Here's the thing. This DJ Jeff is about hope and healing and all that stuff. But at the same time, if you're getting persecuted, you know, a lot of people get persecuted because of their race.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, too, is that you have to tell those stories so that people understand that, you know, when things are going well for you, you don't understand the other side sometimes, and you understand. So, for me, I think it's very important to hear everything. So, I'm sorry, Sequoia. Go ahead.
It's fine. I actually have something to say about both topics.
All right. Okay.
The first one with racism, mm-hmm. I have experienced that, but with like other minorities, like I've been followed in stores. I even saw like a white guy next to me stealing while the owner is watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And
that happened to me too.
You know, like that was crazy. Like the white guy is right there stealing, but you're more focused on me because I'm black.
Yeah.
And
how did that make you feel?
It kind of like made me really like pissed off. Basically, it's like you just gave someone a free pass to take your stuff, but you want to watch me.
Yeah.
Like okay.
Yeah, that happened to me in at a department, not a department, a sporting goods store, and there were a couple kids that were shoplifting and stealing. And as I was leaving, they asked to look through my bag and see and kind of search me while they walked out the door, and it really made me angry. I was like, "Well, it kind of felt like, yeah, I was very angry." That's why I asked how you felt, because you start innocent and you start like in terms of like, I don't want to say naive, but you're like, no, it can't be like that. It's not as bad as it seems. But then when you have certain experiences that happen to you, and then you start getting angry and you start getting upset, and there's only so many times you can get pulled over by saying, oh, that car was, you know, a similar car to the one that was reported stolen, where you're like, okay, is that the truth, or is that just a line just to check my ID and, you know, harass me, which has happened
right.
to me as well. And so these are all stories that you hear other people say, and then you're like, wow, it's more common than you think it is. But yeah,
like even like the other black kids would tease me. They called me the N-word, called me a filled hand, and even older black people would say, oh, you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, oh, they like
that. That's that's very, I'm sorry I keep interrupting you, but you're making such great points. It's fine. Because I think racism doesn't just have to be another race. Racism can exist within races in terms of, as you said, dark-skinned black versus light-skinned black. And that is just as bad, if not worse, sometimes. So I know when we did our TV show, I made the mistake of listening to or reading some of the comments as it was going on, and people were like, why aren't you married to your own race, you know? And these were black ladies, and they were like, you know, you know how dare you not marry a black lady? And I'm like, I married someone that I fell in love with. I didn't look at it.
Right. You can't help who you fall in love with.
And
I tell that to everybody.
That just angered me, though, because I was just like, you know, you should fall in love with someone and marry someone that you love, not just because they're the same race that you are. If it happens to be the same race, that's one thing. But I just thought, you know, so that's what I just wanted to say that as well. But you had another talk. You said you had another thing about the sheeple topic.
Oh, yes. Like, I really can't stand how people just believe everything they see and hear. Like, someone, they see it, like, they think it's real, but don't do any research on it. Like, people just became really lazy within just, like, oh, it sounds entertaining, so it must be true. And so, let me look it up first. It would give me a headache. Like, so many people will ask me questions, and I'm like, just look it up. Like, I have to do the research for them and say, no, that's not true. And especially, like, with the media and even there's, like, so many people on Facebook pretend to be part of your family. And for some reason, they find me and think I'm so naive, I'm going to believe everything they say. But I'm like, I've been a Jackson fan for years, so I know I'm going to ask a million questions, and then I'm going to look it up and make sure what you say is true. I'm not going to just believe you.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's the thing as well. And I think the hard thing is that there's no responsibility to print the truth anymore, to post the truth anymore. Like, now it's about ratings. It's about how many clicks you can get, clickbait, you know.
Mm-hmm. So,
because of the internet, which has been great in terms of bringing people closer together, but at the same time, it's made people farther apart, because people are now can only be in their little bubble, or they can only go to this website and believe what this website says. And so I think that's very dangerous too. And the media that normally was the watchdog of it all, they're now trying to get into that. You know, it's a revenue thing, so they're trying to get the clickbait going too to make money, because at the end of the day, it's a business for them. So I just think it's a dangerous, you know, circle.
Mm-hmm. I even, like, when people would come at me with all that mess, I had made these two memes of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I'm like, you know what, I'm done talking out, I'm just going to use these memes.
Mm.
And it was one with you, Taj. You had these shades went kind of lower, and I had put, I may have my hater blocker on, but I can still see your BS. and with Terrell,
No, I think that's funny. Thank you so much, Sequoia, for calling in.
Oh, and with Terrell, I have two memes, though.
You have what? I'm sorry?
I have these two memes for that, too.
Oh, okay.
Carol.
Uh-huh.
The first one says, "Miss me with that BS," or "I'm sissing BS here."
I gotta see these. I'm gonna look to see where those are. That's funny.
Okay.
Post those for us so that we can see those.
I will.
All right. Take care, Sequoia.
All right. Bye, Sequoia.
Yeah, you too.
Sequoia. Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi, who is this?
Yes, this is Deidre Williams.
Hi, Deidre.
I don't know why I keep saying my last name.
How you doing? How's it going?
It's going good. I actually have a different story than everybody.
Yeah, okay,
like, I've gotten racism to where I'm not black enough.
And I've been called white girl like all my life for Oreo. So it's kind of weird.
No, that's very important to bring up. So you would experience this racism from other black people, you would say, in terms of, or was it just all
it's always black people, because like I noticed white people, like they never, I guess I'm lucky, I never experienced anything that y'all have, but like white people get along with me, I get along with everybody, but it's like with black people, like I'm comfortable with other black people, but they'll say, oh, you so white, like I don't have a, you know, the stereotypical black, what a black person is, I don't act that way, so they'll say like, oh, you so white, and it's just the way I was raised.
I think that's been the problem, because as you said, the stereotypical, you know, and that's the thing, is that people, it's whatever is put out there, and the media has only one vision of what they want a race to look like or be like. They're going to put that out there, and you know, you look at our family, our family's not stereotypical black family. And so,
That's how my family is. My family mixed with Asian. Why we got white people? One Mexican guy. So I'm like, we like the coalition, you know, the world coalition, whatever they call it.
Rainbow. Yeah. But I think that's great, though, because at the same time, you understand tolerance and you understand other races. And that's the thing. But yeah, that's a hard thing, because you know, we're half Hispanic, well, and half black, and so for us, it's like we saw both races, and both races, we were part of both races, and that's how we identified. So I never thought, oh, I'm just black or I'm just Hispanic. I'm both, and I'm proud of both. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's a,
yeah, you should be proud of you, of who you are.
Of course, yes.
That's why I never conformed. Like, because when I grew up, when I was little, like, my mom and dad would tell us, like, we're just like everybody else. You know, like what they tell you in school. Mm-hmm. Like, don't judge people. And I got to talk early. I think I was like proud because I had a white friend. And people would tell us we couldn't be, other people would tell us we can't be friends. But we didn't listen to it because we were kids. Luckily enough, I didn't listen to it. So I never conformed to what black's supposed to be and how white people's supposed to be. I just lived.
Yeah. That's strong on you. And that's the thing. I think that is just, you know, certain people have that willpower, you know, especially as kids, and you had that little, that bond with your friends that you
all. Yeah, it's easier as a kid.
Yeah. Well, we're about to end soon, so thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
All right.
Yeah, thank you for calling and sharing your story.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
Why isn't TJ on today?
Oh, we fired him.
Oh, good.
I'm just kidding. No, he's on.
I know. I'll just play
right
it
now. All right.
All right.
All right,
bye, guys.
Take care.
That's funny. You know, Gerald, for me, like, I know this is a deeper conversation, but at the same time, no one talks about race. They really don't. You know, we sweep it under the rug. We're like, just a couple years ago, it was like, racism doesn't exist.
I took one more call.
Oh, you snuck a call in there? So you weren't even listening to me.
Our ratings might dip a little bit, but let's see.
Oh, no.
Who's on the phone?
Hi, it's TJ.
Oh, jeez.
What's up, you guys?
What's going on, TJ? What's you up, have a story TJ? For the topic of today, which is sheeple or racism?
Yes, I do, actually. That's why I was able to listen into Deirdre's phone call and thought of a great story. Okay. I know we only have a couple minutes before we have to get off.
Yeah. Yep.
But did you guys hear about the lead actor in Get Out?
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about that?
No, because we were going to save that, because I actually haven't seen the movie yet, because I wanted to see it.
Oh, that has nothing to do with the story, so I don't really care that you haven't seen the movie, and that's your fault, Taj. You're supposed to be a movie man. Now, here's the story. Samuel L. Jackson said that he wasn't black enough to be the character, because, or something like that. I don't want to just
That he hadn't experienced what it was like to be a black American because he was.
Because he wasn't American.
Yeah.
Wow. And I don't agree with that. Yeah. You know, and I hope you guys discuss that. But if not, this is your time to do it. And then I'll let you guys close the show. You guys better have done a good job, and I'll be back next week.
Yes, boss.
All right, guys. I love you guys.
Love you too. He should have called in earlier.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with 30 seconds of that.
No. Well, here's the thing. Everyone is very sensitive about race and racism. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't subscribe to not black enough, not white enough, not it's stereotypes.
It's sad, stereotypes. But it's all ignorance.
You know, it's people are people. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think that has something to do with self-esteem too. As kids growing up, mm-hmm. you know, if a race is predicted a certain way, then the kid grows up thinking I'm lower than everyone else is.
Well, I think it comes down to understanding, respect,
love.
That's where
love
I was going.
Love and compassion.
It comes down to love. And speaking of love, that is it for our show. I think we went over a little bit.
Sure.
But that's it for the Power of Love radio show. We got to go.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. TJ should be here. Until then, we will we'll do some more research on topics, right, Tosh?
Yeah.
All right. And we'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.